Hello, hello, hello. My name is Tech Baby, and this is my podcast. I'm calling from Code to Cocktails. Cheers, guys. So I used to have two other podcasts I did with my friends, and at the moment they're kind of discontinued, the podcasts, not friendships. But I really, really just miss yapping on a microphone, telling my life stories because I have a lot of crazy stories. So I decided to create this podcast where I'm just chilling in my bed and telling you about my dating life and my life as a startup owner. So the reason why this podcast is called From Code to Cocktails is because I have my own tech company, which is a dating app we created together with my partner. We already launched it and everything, but I have a quite of interesting business story, as well as the business story is still, you know, happening. And I really wanted to have one part of this podcast where I'm just telling you about my business and how it is being a female entrepreneur in her 20s trying to build it in the tech world. And so the other part of all of this podcast, and like the main part of this podcast, is dating. And especially dating stories, dating tips, and like everything around dating. Because not only am I a CEO of a dating company, I'm also a single CEO of a dating company. Because here's the thing, you know, currently all the dating apps you're probably using, the CEOs of these companies, they're already like married. They're married, they have families, they have made their happy ending, you know. They're kind of selling that the end story. But what do they know about relationships and dating? Like, sorry, like, they might know things about relationships, right, and marriage and, like, how to raise children, but what do they know about the actual real-life struggles, like, people my age are going through and dating? And that's why I kind of wanted to, like, make this podcast about someone who is a dating app owner, but who's also dating. And so, basically, my agenda in life is to go on dates, recognize problems, and create solutions for these problems in dating through technology, through my dating app. So a big part of this podcast is going to be just me yapping and telling you stories about my dating life. Because if you follow me on social media, then you probably already know that I post like my daily dating life. Like I went on a date yesterday. So I tried to post like live dates on my Instagram and my TikTok. But like I also posted like in a very PG way, or like just showing what happened. But I want to go into details, like tell you every single little detail. Oh, I'm a very detailed person. And I want to tell you like every single detail about every date I went to. So this is going to be the like the other part of the podcast and the main part of the podcast where I'm just going to tell you like bunch of stories. And I have so many crazy stories, guys. Like, I hope you're ready for that. So the way I could describe myself is I'm basically your modern life Carrie Bradshaw. Just, I would probably do a backup on my computer because she didn't. And so today in this episode, we have quite a few stories. We're going to have a story about how I went on a double date with a formula driver. I have a story about how I met my investor on Seeking Arrangements. And the story we're going to start today with is how me and my best friend went on a date with the same guy. So basically, I have this best friend. I'm not going to say her real name. We're going to call her Blondie for her privacy purposes. So Blondie lives in New York, and I went to visit her in New York. It's also the place where I'm currently moving. I'm staying in Europe at the moment, but I'm moving to New York. And the thing with me and Blondie is that because she's in New York and I'm here in Europe, we send each other like audio messages all the time. And the audio messages we send each other are like 20-minute long audio messages. And it's also something that I wanted this podcast to be. It's like I wanted it to be like a 20-minute long WhatsApp audio. So think of it as you're my friend, and I'm sending you an audio message of like my dating life, right? And also we're like talking about only two topics, which is dating and business, because she also has her own business. So like every other audio I'm sending her is like this happened to my business, or this guy did this to me. Like it's basically just these two topics we discuss on our audio messages. So back to the story. Sorry, my ADHD is like all over the place. So I come to New York, and it's like my first week in New York, right? And I made a profile on this dating app, which I don't want to say it's like a luxury dating app, but it does have a lot of high profile people, because in order to get on this app, you have to be like very, very verified. Like you have to add your LinkedIn, your Instagram, your X, like all the other social media, like it has like people, it's like waterproof, bulletproof profile. So I go on this profile and you match with some people every day. And because Blondie, and I knew that for a fact, went on a lot of dates already in New York, because she's also single, sometimes I would screenshot the profiles of the guys and send it to her and be like, "Do you know this guy?" So I matched with this guy who's like very, tall, very handsome, very high profile, checks all the boxes, and I'm like very excited to go on a date with this guy. So I send Blondie her profile, his profile, and she goes, "Oh my God, I know this guy. We dated." I'm like, great, great start of me dating in New York, my first week in New York, and she's already dated this guy. I'm like, spill the beans, girl. So she goes, "I don't know what happened." She goes, "We had an amazing date, two dates they went on. He's very charismatic. We had a lot of things in common. Like the vibes were vibing, and then he just ghosted me." I'm like, well, that's something that happens, I think, to every girl in this society. But she's like, "Yeah, but nothing happened. We really, really vibed, and then he just completely ghosted me out of nowhere." I'm like, okay, let me check what's up with this guy. So we go on a date, and the date's going amazing. He really is very, very charismatic, very tall. He's 6'5" in finance, blue eyes. He checks all the boxes, right? So we're having an amazing time. I really, really like him. And here's a dating tip for all of you, is I have my dating question I ask on every single date. So my dating tip is pick a question that you think that most girls probably won't ask on a date, so you kind of stand out. So my dating question that I ask a guy every time I go on a date with is, "What is your worst date story?" First of all, great icebreaker. Second of all, the stories they tell me, I could make a separate episode just telling you stories that guys have told me about their worst dating experiences. And it's like a fun way, they tell me about their bad dates, I tell them about my bad dates. We're like vibing. It's like a good chemistry vibe thing. Bah. So, oh, and one thing I always say, it's like, "Tell me your worst date story, but it can't be this one." And they're like, "Ha." And then they start telling like exactly the date they're currently on. It's like super fun. It's like a great icebreaker. So, yeah, I ask him that question and he goes, "Oh, I have a story just for you." I'm like, "Tell me." He's like, "So I am friends with this girl, and this girl went to a camp with a girl I used to date, and you will never believe what she told me." I'm like, "Tell me." And he's like, "So this girl has an Excel spreadsheet of all of the dates and all of the guys she has ever been on. And like she has like his name, age, maybe income, like occupation, like things like that." And he's like, "And you will not believe, I am on the top of that list. Like that girl is crazy." When he's telling me the story, in the first like 5 seconds, I realize what's happening. Like I figured it out. He is telling me story about Blondie because Blondie has a freaking Excel sheet. And here's the thing. Personally, I don't think that it's any like it's nothing it I don't think it's bad. Like honestly, first of all, Blondie, she's a very punctual girl. Like whenever she comes to visit me, she makes like minute by minute plan of what we're gonna do on an Excel plan, right? She's a very punctual person. And I think it's funny that she created an Excel spreadsheet. And come on, like people date in New York, like sometimes you go on a date and it's like 20 minutes. So obviously, like sometimes you just don't remember the guy's name or what did he do for a living. It's good to keep track. Like she's just smart. I think actually it doesn't mean that she's crazy. I think she's like actually very smart. And second of all, that girl who told him about this, if someone trusts you with an information like that about an Excel spreadsheet, like you don't go and you don't tell that to everybody. Like she probably wanted to be like, "Oh, pick me, choose me," like, oh, can you imagine she did that? She probably has an Excel spreadsheet of her own. Like that's not very girls girly, okay? That's just disrespectful. Like if a girl shares an information like that, you keep your mouth shut, okay? Also me just like making a whole podcast about it. Anyways, so he's telling me the story, and I'm like, and I realize that he's telling me the story about Blondie, the girl I'm currently visiting in New York, the girl I, saw 20 minutes ago, the girl I am sleeping in the same bed with today. Like, he has no idea. And yeah, I was like, Really? Oh my God, I can't believe it. Also, I made an Excel spreadsheet of my own after this because I thought it was a brilliant idea. Okay. So no, I just the reason why I'm telling this story is like you never like in New York, everybody dates everybody. It's so funny. And so many times I've been on a date in New York and like some of my friends have been on a date with the same guy. It's just so funny because in New York, everybody dates everybody. And it was just like the coincidence is funny because she met the guy like a year ago. Like they went on a date like a year ago. A year later, I go on a date with a guy, first date ever, and he tells me a story about my best friend. It's so funny. Well, at least what we got out of the situation is that she knows why he ghosted her. So I guess, we're not going home losers. Got a little bit of piece of information. Anyways, speaking of bad dates, I have a like the main story I'm gonna tell you today about the Formula driver is one of the worst dates I've been on. And it's just it's a story that happened like 3 years ago, but it's so bad that I'm just gonna tell you. Okay, so a little backstory you need to know about me is the reason why I say I'm not a serial dater is because sometimes I will go on dates just to network. And here's the thing, I think that you can find friends. I have over not that I think, I have found friends through dating. I have found business contacts through dating. And it's not just, I don't personally feel the pressure of going on a date and feeling like, oh, this has to be just romantic. And I think like people put so much pressure on dating saying it's just solely romantic, but sometimes you just use dating apps to meet friends, to go out, to have fun, and it's also a great opportunity to like meet really high profile people. Because for instance, if I'm a dating app owner, right? Imagine I want to have a conversation with a VC, and I would send him like my email, or I would send him an email of like my pitch, and I'd be like, hey, like I have this dating app, like would you mind taking a look at it? Like he would never even open the email, he would instantly put it in the junk mail. But because we are would go on a date, like he would give me all the business tips and business insights and like anything, especially because men love to like mansplain and tell you like, oh, you little girl, listen to me, I will tell you everything you need to know. And the amount of like very high profile people, like I've been on dates with like pretty like hedge fund guys, finance guys, business people, investors, like bunch of people I thought I would never meet just because if I would send them an email, they would never answer it. But because we're going on a date, and here's the thing, they don't also put like pressure on a date to be romantic. Like I can easily ask them like business advice on the first date and they will love to tell me all of that advice. And also, like, there's a joke I have amongst my friends, and it's basically like, I've graduated Harvard just by going on dates with powerful men. But it's so true. The amount of like knowledge I got just from dating guys in business is like, it's the same knowledge I would have paid like couple of thousands for some business course. Like literally, that's how much knowledge they have given me, and that has helped me so much. It's funny, my dating life has helped my dating app. So, back to the story. My mom and I decide to take a vacation and go to south of France to Nice. My mom at the moment, she broke her leg, so she had a surgery and she couldn't walk a lot. So to the end of the trip, she was kind of just super tired and she was like, I want to just chill at the hotel. But I'm in my 20s, I'm like, I want to go and party and do something. So I'm like, do you mind if I'll just go out, and explore the city by myself? He goes, no, go have fun. So I decide to go to Cannes and I take a train to Cannes, which is like an hour drive. I get to Cannes, I get to the beach, and the first thing that happens to me while I'm on the beach is I see this guy who starts to please himself while looking at me. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, welcome to France, he started pleasing himself while looking at me. That's like happening in the first 5 minutes while I'm at the beach. And that moment, I went like Tour de France out of the beach and I was like, bye bye. And I was like, what do I do? Like, I'm not feeling Cannes after this unpleasant experience at the beach. So, what do you do when you don't know what to do? You go on a dating app, right? So, I go on a dating app and I start swiping and I match with this guy instantly. And this guy has like a very luxurious lifestyle kind of profile on his dating app. He has like pictures in front of a Rolls Royce. He has like pictures with cigars, like at Hotel de Paris, and you're very, very luxurious, like that Monaco guy, right? And at the moment, it was 3 years ago, I was like really new to dating. I only dated when I was, outside of my country. I was very naive. So obviously, it was like, a fish on a bait. I was like, oh wow, he has this luxury lifestyle. He's probably like super rich. Like, I want to like meet him. Like, I want to experience that luxury Monaco lifestyle. Well, that was very naive of me because people who actually do have money will never post money on a dating app or social media, but we'll talk about that later. So, me and this guy match, and he's instantly like, where are you? I'm like, I'm in Cannes. He's like, come to Monaco. I'm like, I just arrived to Cannes. He's like, come to Monaco. Me and my friends were going to a casino. And I'm like, oh my God, I've never been to the casino in Monaco. It's the, it's the Casino Royale movie from James Bond. That's the casino from that movie. I was like, I have to experience that. And what best way to experience the casino in Monte Carlo if not with the luxury Monaco boy? So here's another backstory. Basically, my internet is not working in Monaco, right? And in order for me to get back from Monaco to Nice would be through a cab, which I can't order because I don't have an internet, and the trains won't probably go because I went there to just party. So I asked this guy, would you mind if I sleep on your couch? Like, if I go, let's say, to Monaco, I can grab a cab there and then I don't want to go back, so would you mind if I, sleep at your place? He's like, of course, no problem. Like, you can stay at my apartment. Like, no problem at all. And then I write to him, and this is exactly the text I wrote. I was like, just so you know, no funny business. I am not going to sleep with you. I am only like using your apartment for a couch to spend the night, like for a couch to spend the night on. And he goes, well, we'll see about that. I'm like, no, we won't see about that. And I write again, like, 100%, we are not going to have any intimacy. Like, I am just there to couch surf. He's like, yeah, whatever, come. I'm like, okay. So I take a cab to Monaco and I like meet this guy. And I honestly, first of all, I don't remember his name, nor do I remember how he really looked. I just remember he was completely, absolutely not my type. He was shorter than me. He had this like specific type of guys that just, scream red flag. And, but again, here's the thing. I went there because I wanted to have fun. I wanted to have a party. I wanted to experience a cool, luxurious night in Monaco. And therefore I matched with this guy. And I specifically told him nothing's gonna happen to put this very like friend zone vibe on our meeting. So we go into the casino and he introduces me to his friends. So he has this one, this bulky big guy who was looking for a sugar baby all night. He was on seeking arrangements all night, which is really funny because I have a story about seeking arrangements. And then he introduces me to his other friend, who is, I did not know I have a type until this moment, because then I realized I do have a type, and that guy was 100% my type. Oh my God. He was like really, really handsome. He had this nice accent. He was just, I don't want to, give it away of how he looks because I don't want you guys to go and Google it. He's not a Formula One driver, so don't get so excited, but he was a Formula driver. So they introduced me to him and I'm like, oh, like stunning. I do wanted to flirt with him and everything, but I couldn't because I felt like bad because I'm on a date with this guy. So I was just like there, okay, I'm just gonna have fun. So we're having so much fun at the casino. They're like, playing games. They're allowing me to like pick a number, pick a number. I'm like 7 because it's my birthday. We're like having a lot of fun in the casino. And then they're like, let's go to a bar. Out of nowhere, this Monaco formula guy pulls out 5 Italian girls he met at the casino, and they're coming with us. So he puts one of the girls in his Porsche, and then 4 other girls, me and the guy, okay, let's give him a name. Okay, we're gonna call him Caviar Guy, my date, because he told me he has a luxury caviar company, and that's how he makes his millions or whatever in Monaco. He has this luxury caviar company. A lot of celebrities are buying his caviar. He's just like this business owner. So Caviar Guy and the sugar daddy guy. So we end up at this bar, and we walk into the bar, and this guy, caviar guy, asks me, what do I want to drink? And I go, a whiskey, please. And he goes, I'm going to get you rosé. I'm like, what? I want a whiskey, like a whiskey sour, please. He's like, I'm gonna get you rosé. We're going to get rosé. Why do you ask me what I want to drink? Why would you ask me what kind of a drink I want if you already decided what kind of drink you're going to get me? He probably, like, comes from the casino. He's like, what are the odds that she's going to pick a rosé? Okay, let's put it, like, 40% she's going to pick rosé. Like, these are the odds. And then he ends up with a high card. So, bad hand guy, I wanted to have a whiskey sour or just whiskey, and he gets a rosé. Anyways, he didn't even get the rosé, because the formula driver guy got a bottle of rosé for the whole table, for the five Italian girls, the caviar guy, the sugar daddy guy, and me. And there's one bottle of rosé. I never get to see my whiskey. Like, why do you even then ask? Like, why would you ask? Anyways, we're having this conversation, and this guy, first of all, the caviar guy, like, for 30 minutes straight is telling me his business story of how he created his caviar company and how well is it doing, and then he's this rich guy and living this luxury life, and yappa, 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 right? And then all the other guys, like, when I started telling them that I'm also, like, a business owner or something, they started, like, laughing and making fun of me. They're like, oh, you're just a woman. Like, literally like that. It was so rude. And, you know, I don't remember specifically what the conversations were at the table. And there's a saying, you don't remember what they said, but you remember how they made you feel. And it didn't make me feel really well. Anyways, I'm already, like, not vibing with all of this, but I still really do like the formula guy because he was really, really cute. And they decide to go to a club. So we end up at the club, and now my caviar guy is, like, all over me. He tries to kiss me all the time. He tries to, like dance with me all the time and, like, shows me a lot of affection. And I am really not feeling it. Like, I really don't like him like that. Plus, he was just, like, super rude, like, 5 minutes ago towards me. And again, he has not asked me a single question. He just yaps about his life and his business, like, typical. And he was also very cringe. Like, this is a little detail, but, like, we're in a club, and there was music playing, and, you know, like, when there are songs, people try to sing, like, lip-sync the songs, and he was lip-syncing, but he couldn't say a single word, like, correctly. I even have a video where he's lip-syncing, and he literally is just doing this. Just, like, yeah, like, opening his mouth, pretending that he's singing the words. Obviously, everybody sees that he doesn't know the words. Like, if you don't know the words, the songs, like, don't sing it. Like, just don't open your mouth. Like, shut your mouth, okay? Anyways, we're at this club, and we're, like, at this club, we're, like, for an hour. And the Italian girls, I think, we left at the bar. And my formula guy finds this Slavic woman that they're having a literal date with. Like, he found her, he started, you know, talking to her, and we kind of end up in a double date situation where I'm with the caviar guy and he's with the Slavic girl, and the sugar daddy guy is probably looking for a sugar baby and seeking arrangements on the couch next to us. And he, like, the formula driver guy gets drinks to his Slavic woman he found 5 minutes ago all the time, like, drink after drink. My guy, who's all over me and tries to kiss me and dance with me and, like, basically wants to sleep with me already, hasn't offered me a drink ever. And I'm like, not asking for it, because, well, when I asked for a whiskey, I got a rosé that I don't even like. And so after a while, like, I just get very, very bored, because obviously I have no alcohol in my system. And here's the thing, I could have gone and, you know, went and got myself a drink, but I didn't do it, because if you're on a date with a guy, or if you're with guys, if you're with company of guys, like, luxury Monaco guys, like, is that really so hard to get a drink for a girl? Like, I just didn't want to do it for the fact of not doing it, you know, for the sake of not doing it, I mean. And after a while, like, an hour goes by, like, he sees I'm very, very bored, because obviously there's no alcohol in my system. I'm, like, bored as fuck. Like, what do I do? And he goes out of nowhere. He's like, do you want a drink? I'm like, you know, yes. Wow, that's brilliant. You know, how did you think of it? So we go to the bar, and he buys one drink. A gin tonic, I think. He didn't ask me what I wanted. He just got a gin tonic. And he's like, we can share it. like drinks half of it, like gives me a little sip, you know. So I never got my drink again. And then after a while, my guy ends up going somewhere with the Slavic girl, and I am left with the Formula Driver guy. The Formula Driver guy looks at me and he's like, "You're gonna sleep with him tonight, right?" Like asking me about the caviar guy. I'm like, "No, I'm not." He's like, "Yeah, you are." I'm like, "No, I'm not." He's like, "Do you never sleep with guys on a first date?" I go, "No." He's like, "Would you like not? Do you not fancy anyone?" And I go, "Well," and he goes, "Oh." And we have that moment where we have like a very direct eye contact, like he realized what's happening, and I was like, "Well, yeah, like, you know," he realized that I like him, but obviously bro code, nothing happened. We just had a little moment. That was actually the last moment I had with the guy, because after that he pulled the Slavic girl and off they went to live their Monaco dream in his Porsche. And I'm so I'm left with the sugar daddy guy. That's, I don't know his name, okay, like whatever his name was. He was just talking about sugar babies all the time, so that's the only way I can like describe the guy. So we end up, the three of us, and so I'm like, "Are we going home?" And he's like, "Yeah." And he asks my caviar guy, asks the sugar daddy guy to drive us to his apartment, and the guy goes, "Well, can't you get a cab?" And so my guy goes, and like showing at me, like he's like pointing at me, like doing the movie eye thing. And he's like, "Oh, okay." Like the sugar daddy guy, he goes, "Oh, okay, I realized it." So he couldn't get me a cab. Like, okay, he couldn't get me a cab. He couldn't get a cab himself. Like, so that guy has to drive us to his apartment. And Monaco is very small. Like, if you've ever been to Monaco, Monaco is a very, very small country. So there are not a lot of places to go, and it doesn't take a lot of time to drive, especially at nighttime. It was like 1 a.m., 2 a.m., something like that. And we're driving somewhere for 20 freaking minutes, right? And I'm like, "Where are we going? Like, do you even live in Monaco?" Anyways, after 20 minutes, we pull up to his apartment, which looks like a post-Soviet Union, like, apartment complex. Not to be rude, but like, if you are selling this luxurious lifestyle on your social media, which I also checked later, and your dating app, like, aren't you supposed to like add up to it? Or no, it's just me, maybe. So his apartment is basically at the very start of Monaco, like where the gates open, like where the security is, where the train station is, like the very, very, very beginning of Monaco, right? And I'm like, okay. And here's the thing, like, I don't want to like sound like this spoiled little brat that's like, "Oh, he didn't even get me a drink," or like, "We got to his apartment and it was like very cheap." But like, I just hate when people pretend to be someone they're not on social media. And I know a lot of people that like post, you know, have rich friends and then post these rich life experiences on their social media as they would be their own. Like, post pictures in front of a Rolls Royce, post pictures with cigars, post pictures, you know, in front of Burj Khalifa. Like, post pictures just to like present yourself as someone who has made it in life. But in reality, it's not your success, it's the success of your friends. In this case, like, he was just friends with his Formula driver, who obviously was wealthy, and then he's just hanging out with him, and therefore he gets all of those experiences that he shares on social media. And here's a little thing, naive me, didn't know then, but I know now, is that actually wealthy people will never post wealth on social media. Like, the people who actually are rich, like, maybe only if you're a rapper or someone, like, you have to do it for the image, but people who are actually wealthy, like, you'll probably, like, see them wear, you know, a black shirt and jeans, and there will not be, like, probably they won't even have social media. Let's start with that, right? Anyways, and we get to his apartment, and this apartment is, like, you know, it's small little Parisian apartment, has like few luxury furniture items, but everything else is IKEA. Not that I have anything against IKEA, like my whole room is built from IKEA, but again, you see me, this is what I post on social media. Like, you will see me live the lifestyle I am living, not the lifestyle my friends are living, right? So we get to his apartment, and this apartment is extremely, like, steaming hot. Like, I'm in a sauna right now. That was one of the hottest days in Monaco, and of course, the apartment heats by day, and he had no AC. So, have you ever been to the zoo, And there's this like tropical house where they keep the snakes and everything, the tarantulas. Like, that's exactly how it felt. Like, the air was so humid. Like, you walk in and you're getting instantly like wet from the amount of like how hot it was. And speaking of tropical houses and animal, the whole apartment smells like fish. And it wasn't me. So I'm like, why does your apartment smell like fish? And he's like, because I have a caviar company. So we walk into his like living room, which was also a kitchen, and he has caviar like all over the place. Aren't you supposed to put it in a fridge? Like, the little baby fish are baking at this point, because they're like, I don't know how hot it was in the apartment, but I was literally like, if I wasn't sweating before, I was like dripping sweat at this point, dripping sweat on little baby dead fish. So I'm like, oh my God, I am done with this shit. He obviously pursues to like try to have sex with me. I'm like, dude, I am tired. I'm not even drunk. Like, if you wanted to sleep with me, like, could you at least get me drunk? I'm like, I'm just gonna go to sleep. But before that, can I please take a shower? And he goes, yeah, sure, of course. I'm like, can I please get a shirt? Usually, when guys give me a shirt, it's like a big oversized shirt. Like, this one is a girl shirt, but it's like more oversized than the shirt that he gave me because he gave me a literal crop top. Like, the shirt was not even covering my hips. Maybe he did that on purpose, or maybe he was just very short and skinny. I don't know. But I got a shirt that was a crop top from a guy. So I hop into the shower and I go, please don't go in. Because the reason why I said that is because he didn't have a door that you could lock. He had the literal, have you ever seen Ace Ventura, like, that movie? Speaking of animals and baby dead fish. So he had the door that like goes like this and you can't close it. So I go, please don't go in the bathroom while I'm in there. And he's like, yeah, sure, don't worry. So I go to take a shower and I hear that someone's opening a door. Obviously, it was this guy and he walks into the bathroom and I am butt naked standing in the shower and I start screaming and I'm like, get out! And he goes, oh, come on, like, what? Like, chill, I thought we could have a little fun. Another tip, okay? You're in a very vulnerable position. First of all, you're a girl in a guy's apartment that you don't know. There's no way for you to escape this apartment, and you're butt naked in a shower. Like, anything can happen. So, in order to protect yourself, you have to really break his psychology. So, what I do in order to like appear bigger and appear stronger and make him be scared of me, I start cussing every single word I know in Russian. I'm like. Yeah, well, here's, they teach you Russian in school, and here's where I use my Russian to escape from an unpleasant situation. So I start cussing at him, and he obviously gets super scared and runs out of the bathroom. I take my shower, I finish my shower, wash the little baby fish stink and the sweat off my body, and wear his little crop top and get into bed. Another thing I did, which was really smart, I asked him for a Wi-Fi password. We're gonna get to that later. So we get to his bedroom. Obviously, he again tries to sleep with me, and I'm like, get off of me. Nothing's gonna happen. Multiple times I told him that, and I don't know, like, is that really so hard to understand a no? If a girl says no, and I tried to explain to him this, by the way, I was like, if a girl says no, it means no. And he's like, well, let me try this one last thing. If you don't want to sleep with me afterwards, like, I'm never gonna ask you this again. And I was honestly curious. I was like, okay, bring it on. Bring your A game, baby. So he's like, lay on me. I'm like, what? And he takes me and he puts me on him. I am like laying like a literal, like a seal, like, like not even moving, like a brick. And he's like, how does that feel? Well, it was more comfortable when I was on the bed, not this bony body. Not body shaming anyone. He was actually not that skinny. So I'm like, I'm not feeling anything. He's like, don't you like to cuddle? I didn't know that cuddling means just laying on someone like a brick. So I was like, no. And he's like, okay. Anyways, so I tried to go to sleep. He's on one side of the bed. We don't touch. Thankfully, I'm on the other side of the bed and I go to sleep. Actually, sleep would be a very loud word because I didn't sleep for a second. It was so hot, the air was so humid, like I couldn't sleep. And basically, I wake up at like 6 in the morning. This guy is still sleeping, and I'm like, I have to get out of this situation. So I get out of bed. I open my phone that now has the Wi-Fi. I check that he's living like 10 minutes from the train station. I'm like, thank God. And I get out of the apartment, never say bye, while he was still sleeping, open the door and get out. It was a horrible experience, and I think that I could have like went on, couch search for a couch.com and like find a better and more pleasant experience where somebody didn't want to like literally sleep with me all night. After I multiple times, even in the text messages and on the dating app, said that there's nothing's gonna happen. Right, so I take my little morning walk to the train station, like it's sunrise, right? It's like I'm loving it. I go back to the apartment my mom and I was staying, like she's probably like sitting there, like reading a Jane Austen book, like having the time of her life. I'm like, hi, mommy. She's like, did you enjoy your time with your friends? I'm like, yeah. Us just going on with our vacation. So yeah, so that was my story of how I dated a fake caviar company millionaire. Like, that was so Anna Delvey of him. We love that for him. And honestly, I followed him on social media for a while, and he continued on posting super luxurious stories. Like everything you would see on his social media would be like private planes and caviar and, formula races, and just like he was living his life. He was the Anna Delvey. We love that for him. So the last crazy story I have for you is how I met an investor on Seeking Arrangements. I need to take a drink for this one. So, yeah. So, for those of you who don't know what Seeking Arrangements is an app for sugar daddies and sugar babies where an older type of men that have a lot of money are searching for women that could go on a vacation with them, get monthly allowances, go on expensive trips, get them presents in exchange for you know what. And I had a friend who was on this site. It was like 2, 3 years ago. And she was on this site and she was telling me stories about, the guys that she met on this dating app. Which I don't know if it's considered a dating app, but well, I guess so. And she was telling me these stories, and honestly, crazy, interesting stories about how these guys bought her a bunch of presents, took her on expensive vacations, and so on and so on. And I was like, oh my God, wait. This is how my brain works. Like, sometimes I get these, like, super brilliant, not brilliant ideas. I'm like, if these guys, this is basically an app where these guys have a bunch of money. And if these guys have money to invest in some girl to give her monthly allowance for her apartment, then they also have money to invest in a business, right? And this is the time where I just started my business. I just came up with the idea for Risk Me, my dating app, which we're gonna get to talk about very soon. And I don't know nothing about business. Like, I don't know what a VC is. I don't know how investments work. All I know is that if you have an idea, there's probably some rich person that's giving you money in exchange for equity and your company gets valuated. And that's all I knew. And at the moment, I was like sending my pitch and like my idea to like bunch of investors. I literally wrote investors on LinkedIn. I was also cold emailing a bunch of like investors. Obviously, I never got an answer back. So I think like, why don't I create a profile on the Seeking Arrangements app and pitch my idea? Like, wouldn't that be freaking brilliant? So what I do is I literally create a profile. My tagline, because you had to add a tagline for the profile, was the smartest cookie in the jar. And there are two sections you have to fill out, and one is basically tell us about yourself, and the other one is tell us about what you're looking for. So in the section, tell us about yourself, I told everything about my dating app. I was like, so Risk Me is a new high-tech AI company. We're using gamification to like match people based on personality. And the section that was like basically tell us about what you're looking for is like, I'm looking for an investor or an advisor for my business. This is how much equity I'm willing to give away. Like literally putting a whole pitch on Seeking Arrangements. And the profile picture I chose for Seeking Arrangements was my LinkedIn photo. Like I had a photo where I'm just like, my hands like this, like I'm wearing glasses. I'm like, you know, like a LinkedIn photo. Poor guys who were swiping and seeking arrangements. Like, imagine they're like scrolling and there's a girl like on a yacht, another girl like with her breasts out, and then me wearing my glasses with like, invest and risk me. I don't know what these guys thought of me, but like, actually I do know, because so I have three guys that I had like matched with and had like experiences with that I'm going to tell you about in a second. But like, I also got a bunch of messages that were still like, oh baby girl, like, do you need 5k for monthly allowance, or like, do you need a little like little Chanel bag? And I go like, oh, then that moment I realized they never read my little application. Like, they probably saw my LinkedIn picture, you know, I don't know what they thought, probably thought I was cosplaying something, like maybe it was like a little like a foreplay moment of like a teacher or something. But yeah, anyways, so obviously I never answered these emails. Also, I have deactivated my profile, that therefore I can't, and I would love to read you like the pitch I wrote on seeking arrangements, but I deactivated my profile. And so three guys I match with, some guys would like text me and they'd be like, this is actually so brilliant, like this is so funny, like tell me about your business. So there was one guy who I had a meeting with, and this meeting kind of ended up being a date. He liked me a little more than he liked my business, and he wanted to pursue a relationship, which I obviously immediately canceled on, because, well, I'm not going to date someone from seeking arrangements. Nor was I interested in dating in the moment, because my priority was, you know, my business, and still is to this day. And so the other guy I met was like super nice. And what I really liked about the two other guys that I met is that they never treated me or our meeting as a date. Like, there was nothing romantic about it. Like, they just treated me so professionally. Like, when we went to the meeting, like, they shook my hand. Like, imagine, like, you're going into seeking arrangements day with your freaking laptop on the table, like, pitching your app, like, having your handshake. Like, yeah, I totally agree. The economy is, like, very, very, very bad. So yeah, the one guy I went on a, like, meeting date with, he gave me so many good business tips. Like, he... like, my business was not for his portfolio, so he was not interested in investing, but he did give me like a lot of like very reasonable advice. And then the other guy is so funny, because he did not invest in Risk Me, spoiler alert, but to this day we are very good contacts. It happened like 3 years ago, and so we went on a meeting and I told him about my idea, and he really, really liked it, and he started like advising me. And I would send him, like, every time I created a new pitch, I would send him my pitch. He would, like, review it. I think I had a Zoom call with him, like, 3 months ago, really. And we just talked, and I just told him about my progress. Like, he watches all of my stories, and we're really good contact. And it's so funny that you can meet someone as a business contact through seeking arrangements. Would I, like, advise you guys to do it? Probably not, because if you think about it, you know, meeting an investor, it wouldn't be such a professional, like... So, like, it wouldn't be so professional between a startup owner and an investor if you kind of know his, like, deepest, darkest little desires and his deepest, darkest little sexual relationship behavior. Like, it's not really a good tone for a relationship in, like, a professional setting, like, building a business. But I did find, like, good friends, like, to this day. Like, this guy's, like, well, I wouldn't consider him my friend, but he is someone, like, I am in good contact with. Like, I can call anytime and ask him for advice, so that's, like, funny. I just thought it's, like, a funny story of, like, you know, how my brain works. Like, why would I even think of something like that? I'm actually, like, really curious, has anyone ever done this? Like, if you have ever used seeking arrangements for finding an investor for your company, please leave a comment down below. Like, zero comments, imagine. Okay, enough with the dating stories and my brilliant brain stories. I want to tell you about my dating app, Risk Me. And today I want to talk about, like, how I came up with the idea. And basically, how I want to do this podcast is every single episode, I will, like, unravel the idea even more. So if today I'm telling you about how I came up with the idea, maybe next episode I'll tell you how I met my partner and how we started working on it, or how I started, you know, approaching investors and so on and so on. So... here's a little backstory. I was kind of known in my country, still am, and therefore people would recognize me, and I couldn't, and I have a small country that I'm originally from, and people would recognize me on dating apps, and they'd be like, oh my God, you're that influencer chick. Like, what are you doing here? Like, making fun of me, right? So that, therefore, I never used a dating app because I just felt like, I just felt awkward. Like, you already know me. I just don't want to go on a date when somebody already knows me. Or maybe they would go on a date to just like make fun of me because like people bullied me a lot at the time. So I didn't go on dates and I didn't have any experiences from dating apps, but I did have a best friend, a guy friend who went on so many dates and so many really bad dates. And he was the guy who told me like the craziest bad date stories. So one day we're sitting, we're drinking wine, and he's telling me like bad date stories he has. And I go, oh my God, like you can't text, like these stories are so shitty. Imagine if you could like catch a girl like Pokemons on Pokemon Go. And at the time, Pokemon Go was like really popular. And moment I said that, like something cracked, like a Newton's like apple fell on my head. A light bulb happens. Like I was just, it was such a light bulb moment. I don't know why I'm scratching my nose all the time. Like I don't know why my nose is like itchy. Anyways, excuse that. So a light bulb moment happens, and I'm like, oh my God, this is brilliant. I need to create a dating app where you'll be able to catch people. Not text them, not swipe on them, but catch them. And then I was like, how do you catch people? And then I thought, challenges. Who likes games? Everybody likes games. Okay, we're living in a generation where everybody plays games. But I don't mean the like red flag bad games like manipulating someone. I mean like fun little icebreakers, fun little games. Like imagine a situation, in movies, like they always show this like ugly duckling girl like going with her books, like walking and the books fall, and then there's this most handsome guy in the school who helps her pick up the books, and they have a moment, they look at each other and they fall in love. I wanted to create that moment in a dating app. Like, because what was the moment that happened? The books fell, he helped her pick them up, and they had a moment. And I wanted to create that moment in a dating app. And then the idea of challenges was born. So my dating app, RiskMe, the app we have together with my partner who developed it. The whole idea is when you join the app, you create your artificial intelligence avatar. So when you're actually swiping, you don't see real people, you just see the AI avatars. I wanted to give this blind dating like experience and this blind dating aspect because people are so focused on looks. Also, like from my perspective, like I didn't want to get recognized, and I thought about how many people don't want to get recognized immediately on a dating app. Like imagine you're just fresh out of a breakup and like you're on a dating app and like people will judge you. Like there are so many reasons why people don't want to be seen on dating apps, and I totally get that. So at first, when you join our app, you create your artificial intelligence avatar, and then you add a challenge to your profile. We have a bunch of categories like music, like gaming, anime, sports. You create a challenge in this category. We already have pre-made these challenges. Like we could do a voice recording. Let's say like send me a dad joke, or like guess this anime by these emojis, or like guess my coffee order, or tell me your worst date experience. Like bunch of little challenges that people can do. You add that to your profile, so when you're swiping on a challenge and this artificial intelligence avatar. And once you complete the challenge, which actually is like super quick to complete, it takes like 3 to 10 seconds to complete, you unlock the person's full profile, meaning you see all of the images and everything else like on any other dating app. You see the bio, you see the pictures, you see the everything. And we really wanted to create this app where you have this gamification like aspect, and also so many young people like use our app, like Gen Z's, like my generation, because I think we're the generation that like went through COVID. We went through isolation. It's kind of harder for us. We're more introverted. It's harder for us to like meet people, like communicate with people, to text even. And so therefore I really wanted to like make it a lot easier for you guys and create this app where people just match on energy. You match on interests. Like he likes music, she likes music. You create a music challenge, you complete a music challenge, you unlock the full profile, and therefore you already have something to talk about. Because my experience on other dating apps, the only question people ask me is, yo, how's your weekend going on weekend? And then on like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they'll be like, how was your weekend? Or how's your week going? Or like, how's your summer going? Like, is there any other question besides how's your weekend, really, guys? So yeah, so that's the whole idea of RiskMe, and I created the idea. I had no experience in tech, nor did I have any experience of like UX design or developing like anything. The only experience I had was in marketing, which I'm still like mostly doing for the app. This is part of it. But basically, yeah, I had to learn how to create the UX design. Like currently in the app, we have a UX design that I also partially made. And there have been like the journey of this project. So many things I've learned. Like, I started literally from the bottom. I knew nothing. I was not a tech baby. And now I consider myself a tech baby from, like, the knowledge I got in these 3 years of, like, working on RiskMe 2.5. It's, like, insane. And I'm so, so excited to tell you about it. So RiskMe is completely free. We're making no money, nor do we have any investments. We have currently two people's team that's working on this project, so me and my partner. So if you guys would love to, like, support us in any way, I would love for you to download us. Again, we are free. So all it takes for you to download and create your profile, create your avatar, and create your challenge and start swiping. I think it's going to be the end of this podcast. If you want to hear more of my daily dating stories, you can follow me on Instagram, which is @movieevelina, or my TikTok, which is techbabynyc, where I post a bunch of stories if you want to see my daily dating life. And then hopefully I'll see you next week with a new episode and new story times. And most importantly, if you guys could help us out, go to your app store or play store and download RiskMe and check us out. So yeah, that was my podcast. Let me know what you thought. It was my first time, first of all, doing an English podcast, also first time doing a podcast alone, so I was, like, a little scared, but I had a lot of fun. I love the experience and I love to yap, so I will see you next time on my little yapping journey. Bye.